Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host Chris Lifka, and this week we don't have a guest. I decided to kind of do just like I did last year, where I just do kind of like a mid-year review of how everything's going and how the tournaments have been going and how I've been handling the mindset of things. So it's going to be a little short episode. Nothing too, it's not going to be super long like the hour episodes that I've been having. But just wanted to get on here, do a mid-year review, and let's get into it. First things first, we just had the birthday show. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be a part of that. Had some work things going on, but we had the show revealed that we've reached the mark of over 1 million views between podcasts, YouTube, and every single channel on there. So just want to give a shout out to Brian and everybody else that's worked hard at this. Obviously, everyone has been doing this for a year now with Paddle and Fin. I probably contributed a little bit compared to what those guys have contributed in the last 4 years. So just a huge congratulations and a huge shout out to them. I really appreciate being a part of this family. And I told them that privately. I just want to say it on the podcast too. Another quick thing that I wanted to do, it is July 2nd now. This episode comes out July 3rd. So happy 4th of July to everybody. Hope everyone's having a safe and fun weekend, catching a ton of fish. I know I'm going to try to get out there tomorrow to catch me some fish before all the party boats get out. But hope everyone has a safe and happy 4th of July. Last episode, I believe that came out, was Drew Gregory, where he talks about how he's been on an absolute tear. That was before he even had the two more trail win and Champagne. So, I mean, he's on an absolute tear. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. But let's get into it. So, year started off kind of slow for me. We actually didn't start our tournament year till May due to weather and things getting canceled and plans getting canceled. I was supposed to go to the Tennessee trip, didn't go to the Tennessee trip, unfortunately. I heard it was a great time, but personal things get in the way, so we didn't get to that. Next month rolls around, Geneva, for the Great Lakes Kayak Fishing Series. It was supposed to be my first event. Ended up getting canceled due to weather and high winds. I think the winds were going to blow 40 to 60 miles an hour on that lake, and anything above 20 is kind of dangerous, especially being a kayak. So the first tournament was Geneva, and it was May 21st, I believe it was. Went into there. I didn't really have high expectations. I didn't really know what to expect. It was only like my third time being out there, second time in a kayak. Went up Friday to pre-fish it. There was a ton of bad fish up there. That Friday, ton of largemouth that I marked on the fish finder. I'm blanking on the name, sorry guys. So ton of fish that I marked in the fish finder, and then I kind of went and looked for a couple offshore areas, offshore deals, just to kind of see if there are some fish out there deeper, maybe in the pre-spawn still or in the post-spawn. I believe water temps the time of year was 55, 60 still, big giant lake. The water is deep there in certain areas, so it takes a while for that lake to kind of warm up. As to where in Illinois, we already had our water at 70 degrees. The fish had already spawned out, and it was kind of post-spawn fishing for us. So COVID to that tournament being a bat fishing tournament, and very different for me. I'm used to fishing grassy areas with dirty water, and this lake was like crystal clear water. You could see down 10, 15 feet. And very, very different. Now, I'm definitely not used to this kind of fishing. So having that Friday to practice and seeing that water for the second time ever. The first time was early April. Me and a couple of buddies took a trip up there, but we didn't catch anything. Boat docks weren't even in yet. There was like nothing. And there was really no fish. We didn't see any fish or anything out there. So they were probably like in that 20 to 40 feet range. We weren't really looking out there. Motor didn't work that day due to battery issues, not due to motor issues, thankfully. But I had that Friday. Ryan was out there on the boat, just fun fishing with two other guys. And so he said he was seeing the same thing I was seeing, where he said most of these fish had moved up to beds, but they weren't really exactly stuck on the bed per se. And I knew we had a cold front coming in Saturday, so I didn't know how much that was going to affect the fish or affect the bite. That's kind of why I went looking offshore too, was to kind of have a secondary game plan. And what I needed to learn for that lake in particular, I need to do more like topographic map studies or look at contour lines versus just looking at Google Maps. Because that's kind of all the research that I did for this tournament, was looking at Google Maps and trying to figure out areas. But so come later that night, you know, I marked all the fish that I think I needed, kind of came up with a game plan, got rods ready, stayed at Brian's house, which I want to give him a thank you to him for that. Anytime you can find a place to stay for free, it's awesome, especially in this world where we're not really making a living doing this. So any free place is a really good place to stay, as I always say. And I didn't have to sleep in my car, which is really nice. Woke up that morning feeling kind of anxious, excited, fully like ready and prepared to like knock it out of the park. You know, not necessarily thinking I had a win in the bag, but I definitely didn't think I was going to not catch them. So we got to the ramp, and first, I got to the ramp, one of three people at that boat ramp, which is kind of common for that ramp where I launched out of. I launched out of Fontana Ramp, which they don't really have a parking space, so people don't like to park launch there, because you have to kind of park a little far away from where the actual ramp is. But other than that being said, went into that tournament, got my stuff all ready, everything all rigged out, turned the nav lights on, turned the inside LEDs on, and then right before, about 3 to 5 minutes before launch, I go to turn on the 360 light, and the 360 light's not working, and I realize I haven't changed the batteries out since the beginning of last year. And so I kind of had to wait a little while to launch at that particular tournament. And I, not knowing that at the time, I had a 45-minute ride, per se, to my first spot that I wanted to fish. The first boat dock that I wanted to fish. You know, kind of talking with Brian, we both kind of thought, the night before the boat, we both kind of thought that the best thing to do was go to the farthest dock that I had marked and just kind of work my way back to the boat ramp, because we both for sure thought those fish would still be there. So by the time we got to launch, got to the first boat ramp, fish were gone. Always have a plan B, because plan A normally never works in fishing, as I'm beginning to learn, especially, the more I go out there and fish and the more I go out there to compete. Plan A is normally never the plan that you stick with. It very rarely is. And so went out there, got to my first dock, 45-minute boat ride. Obviously, we don't got 250s on the back, so it's quite a haul just to go about 2.5 miles, I believe it was. And fish weren't on there like I expected them to be, And what I think happened in that tournament was I stuck to that pattern way too long versus adjusting. I caught in pre-fish, I had a few bites and I managed to catch a 17.5 going out deeper. And what I should have did in that tournament, now going back to it and thinking about it, I should have just went out deeper and just looked for one bite here, one bite there, because the original idea was completely scratched. And although the winners of that tournament all caught bedfish, they caught them out in that 8 to 10 foot range, or that 8 to 6 foot range, and none of them were right up against docks. And I just kept fishing docks till about 11 o'clock. I stopped fishing docks, which is way too long. I went and checked almost every single dock. I'm like, they just have to be here, they have to be here. And they weren't, and they never were going to show up that day. But I was so dead set on that pattern that it actually hurt me. So at 11 o'clock with zero fish still in the kayak, I mean, unless you want to count rock bass, but zero fish still in the kayak, I kind of started to spin out, and then I finally just went deeper, about 10-15 foot range. Just started casting, had no luck. Seen two huge smallmouth sitting right next to a buoy. And I remember seeing, Elite Series guys saying smallmouth love to hang around buoys, especially in deeper water, especially on clear water lakes. Drop the drop shot down there. They eat it just like they're supposed to. And unfortunately, I lose that fish. And without even reeling back up and dropping back down, it hits again. I lose it again. And then for some reason, those fish kind of just disappeared. or if they didn't disappear, they just didn't eat anymore. I tried different techniques. I threw different things out there. I threw different baits on the drop shot to see if I could fire them up a different way. And nothing. You know, so I just kind of, for that tournament, drifted around, ended up zeroing. But what I learned out of that tournament was, after I was done being really pissed off and mad that I zeroed in the tournament, I stayed on the boat docks way too long. I stayed on a pattern that was not there. I think what happened was, because the largemouth are more sensitive than smallmouth, and smallmouth is what won the tournament, the largemouth left the docks once that cold front came in. It dropped about 20 degrees air temp, 5-6 degrees water temp, if I can remember correctly. You know, we're talking about 2 months from now that passed. And so I'm thinking those largemouth kind of pulled off of their area, and just they weren't eating, but they also weren't spawning. And I couldn't catch anything that tournament. And I should have just adjusted and either took the long 45-minute ride back, got on the truck, and went to a different boat ramp. Or I could have just looked for fish deeper and just tried to catch one, you know, one per hour and just fill the limit to get points, which some guys did. Some guys just tried to fill a limit to get points. Being the first tournament of the year, luckily for me, we do 5 bass tournaments and 4 of them count for AOI. So that one will not be on the resume for this year's AOI. Yeah, just kind of I stayed on the pattern that was not working for too long, and it kind of took me a little while to realize that, but. You know, this is why we do what we do. We go out there and we learn things. So, being that that was a clear water lake and kind of a Great Lake-ish feel, I took the kayak. And I took the kayak to Lake Michigan a few weeks after that to get ready for our next event, which would be Sturgeon Bay. In Wisconsin, of course, a beautiful Sturgeon Bay. I enamored with how it just looks and how it feels like when you're in the town, when you're eating at a restaurant, everything just feels calm and comfortable and just no stress whatsoever. Those people do not live under stress, man. And you can just kind of get that feeling of all your stress go away when you're there. But I took the kayak to Lake Michigan. More importantly to figure out how the water feels, per se, like the way the waves move, the way, you know, if it's windy, how it's gonna feel, how the kayak reacts to it, how I react to it. And it wasn't necessarily catch fish, it was more of get used to the way that water is, because as we know, Lake Michigan's a big place. They get really, really nasty at any given time. So I took it there, got used to that, went to the Sturgeon Bay tournament, drove up early Friday morning, and I drove up early Friday morning, woke up about midnight, 1 o'clock, drove all the way up there, got there about 5 a.m., met with a buddy, Raul Gonzalez, who's been on the podcast before. It's his first year kayak fishing, and he guys an absolute beast at it. You know, he took a 5th place and a 3rd place in his first 2 kayak tournaments. This year with Great Lakes. But we went to breakfast with him, Then we kind of jumped on our first place. We didn't, I had a birthday. We found all the stuff that smallmouth would love to hang on, because this is a smallmouth fishery. You know, it's Lake Michigan, just like I was saying. And it was an absolute blast to be out there, but more about the pre-fishing stuff is I got to see how this guy kind of, how he operates, per se, versus how I would have operated, where he doesn't force a place that he launches to have fish. He's okay with moving, versus where I would have stayed out there and kept looking, but instead I was kind of going off of how I wanted to see how he operated and versus how I operate when I pre-fish in tournament. And what we did is kind of what Drew Gregory, you know, talks about, and when I had him on the podcast, how he's kind of shown me how to do a couple of these things is he's like, the fish aren't here, I'm not feeling it, let's load up, let's go somewhere else. So we load the kayaks up, and neither one of us have a trailer, so it takes a little time to load the kayaks up. So it's not an easy task. We load the kayaks up, we then go in, there was like a little shop there. We go inside, we look at a map, and we kind of figure out what bays we want to hit, because after all, these fish are going to be, they're going to be in bays, they're not going to be way out there. Again, because we're going even farther up north, the water takes even longer to warm up. There's another spawn fishing event, you know? So it's sight fishing, fish are going to be on beds. And so that's what we were looking for. So we went all the way up to the farthest point we could possibly go. And what continued on from there was we didn't even launch the kayaks. We just kind of went off the docks. We went and just kind of walked the banks to see if we could just see fish. Not necessarily huge fish that would win a tournament, just see fish that were spawning and areas that they should be at. Instead of constantly launching the kayaks, taking them out, we did that. We hit up that place, hit up the topest part. When we realized they weren't really there, we went to the next one, and then kind of went to the next one and the next one after that. And then we found kind of like your A, B, C plans. And then we went, we had lunch. I took a nap because I'd been up for who knows how many hours at that point. But at that point, I took a nap, and then our cabin that we decided to rent out, ended up being on Sturgeon Bay, and we just kind of launched from the beach to kind of practice that area, see if they were there. And they ended up being there. And then spawning too. That's where I ended up. I don't know if you guys seen the Instagram photo, but that's where I ended up catching that. Like, had to be close. If it wasn't a 20, it had to be close to a 20. It was definitely a 4.5-5 pound smallmouth. And I decided that's the area I wanted to start at in the tournament. So we go back to the cabin, and we kind of talk to each other. You know, we are sharing all the ideas and stuff all day. And we're all driving around following each other. So it wasn't like we were keeping things away. Which is good to kind of have a team like that, you know. Especially in like these bigger water events where you're literally breaking down Lake Michigan. So we get back to the cabin, kind of talk. I tell them, look, I'm going to launch here. I'm going to try to catch these spawn fish in the morning. If something happens where they're not here and in the first hour, I'm leaving. And I'm going to go somewhere else. and they say, okay, well, you stay here and we'll go to a different place and we'll kind of just keep in contact with each other. So fast forward to the morning, I go to my spot, get there super early because it was like 5 minutes from the launch, and I had to wait like 15 minutes just to make the first cast that morning. And fish weren't there like they were before, and it kind of scared me being that Geneva was the same way. So fish weren't there like they were before, and kind of panic mode set in. So I'm like getting straight out the water and just going, which I'm glad I did it. I go down to so when we were in pre-fishing, we kind of launched out of the beach. He went left, I went right, and we kind of just scanned the area pretty much. He said he found some spawners on his side in a creek area, but it didn't really look like they were locked down. Well, they ended up being locked down Saturday morning. So my first fish, I lost two fish and caught one in that little creek area. None of them were really big. I was just looking for a limit at that point. They weren't going to win the tournament, that's for sure. So I did that, got what I could there. And then when I came out, I kind of found like a 18 to 20 incher on a bed, because by that point the sun has fully came up and you could see a lot better into the water. And I just couldn't get her to go. So by the time I figured that out, I had already spent a half an hour to an hour on her. I can't really remember how long I just spent on her. But I just decided this is not the area to be, even if I got that fish to go. Where's my next fish coming from? You know, two fish in the live well ain't going to do anything, even if I do catch that big one. So I took off, loaded up about 9 o'clock, 9, 10 o'clock. And I want to say about 9 o'clock. Got to the next launch ramp where he had said he had went to, and there was, he said he went to the next launch ramp. I can't remember the name of it. And it was kind of already the one that I was eyeing on, planning on going to. 20 minutes from where I currently was. And it took me to till about, I want to say 10, 10:30, could possibly 11. And this tournament only went to 1:30. So it was 10. Between 10 and 11, let's say that, to find a parking spot and launch. And this is the great thing about the kayaks, is there was technically no ramp. It was public launching and a public access place, but there was no boat ramp. It was more of a, dock your boat, get out, get snacks kind of place, get back in for like people who would boats and motors and stuff. And truth be told, I just broke my kayak down. I launched it right off the side and watched it float. And then kind of, and then I tied it to one of the docks. And then I loaded the motor, the battery, the drop shot rod, and I think one other, I had all four rods just because I had it tied down to the kayak. I only loaded two tackle boxes on there. I loaded my terminal tackle, so if I need hooks or anything. I brought my line, my eight-pound test fluoroclear line, and drop shot baits, basically, and just took off because I knew the type of tournament it was. I knew what I needed to do to have those fish react to things. It wasn't going to be a reaction big deal. I didn't have to bring the whole package deal to catch these fish. I already knew what I needed to do. Got out there, seen a few fish, couldn't really get them to go. It was really windy at the time. Finally got all the way to where Raul was, and luckily for me, he had what I call the magic trick of it. I don't even necessarily think it was the bait, but it was the color. It was a bright chartreuse color. It was like 6-5 to 7-inch worm, floating worm, that we just cut down to like 2-3 inches, 2.5 inches, I think, and just put it at the end. The worm didn't do anything. It was just the fact that it was chartreuse that these fish were getting pissed off by and just crushing it. And the struggles I had in that tournament were staying in place. If you could stay in place in these long enough, these fish would eat it automatically. And it was kind of easy to catch the fish and easy to see the fish. It was, the struggle in that tournament was staying in place, and I didn't have an anchor, which I should have. And I don't have spot lock on the kayak. I run a back motor, obviously doesn't have spot lock on that. So I ended up catching two more and losing one more in that tournament. So I definitely had the bites and the strategy to fill the limit in that tournament. I just didn't have a way to control the kayak, or at least I didn't learn a way to control the kayak in that tournament. So I ended up only catching three fish that tournament, 49 inches, which got me 19th place out of 27 anglers. But more importantly, it got me Angler of the Year points. And that was kind of a blessing. And just, you know, a blessing to still have those points and leave those two tournaments, which is very tough tournaments for me, and ended up being very, very high learning experiences, and got me to thinking that I need to fish this clear water a lot more than I normally do. And instead of just always fishing dirty water, largemouth fishing, I need to get onto these clear water lake smallmouth. Number one, the funnest fish ever to catch. They fight forever. They pull drag like crazy. The one I caught in pre-fish, damn near bent the spinnerbait straight, the whole shaft, not the hook, but the whole spinnerbait shaft straight. When I was reeling them in, and like I was joking with the guys, I said, I didn't pull that fish in, that fish pulled me in with my kayak. And so what I learned there is I kind of need assistance to learn kind of bed fishing. You know, I never really did bed fishing up until this tournament, and I need to learn clear water, smallmouth, and I need to learn bed fishing. And other than that, guys, geez, we've been at this for 30 minutes. I didn't even think this was going to be a 20-minute podcast. But in the future, we already have some guests lined up. And I just want to say congrats on the 1 million views to all the other hosts and Brian Schiller. And have a happy and safe 4th of July, everybody. I will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.